So a week ago we finished John 21. In 7 days' time we'll do Genesis chapter 2. And yesterday we were blessed that we got together with some friends and celebrated a meal. And this year I'll be turning 50. Thank you. Lord willing. I was just curious, during any of that statement, did any of you follow or fail to know what day I was talking about? So, last week we did John chapter 21, which day was I talking about? And in 7 days we'll be doing Genesis chapter 2, what day am I talking about? Did I eat a meal with friends all day yesterday? What do you think? Possibly? What's it likely to be? No? Did I eat one meal with friends? Or two meals with friends? Or three meals with friends? What's most likely to be? What? And am I already 50 or am I going to become 50? Okay, so we do understand the concept when people say, you know, 7 days, 6 days, forward, backwards. Time's not that tricky, really. I wonder if I'd come to you when I first got to know the church and explained a bit about my background and gave a description of where I'd come from and who my family were. If I then stood up right now and told you that it's all baloney, I just lied. Is that like a good story? Took it off somebody. They had a good biography. They had, you know, sound like they had, you know, a good family. So I'd use their illustration. If you suddenly found out that everything I'd told about myself just wasn't true, it's sort of, I would imagine, harm our relationship. Because when you meet people for the first time, those impressions count. And beginnings count, don't they? So I think it's important when we look at Genesis, the book of beginnings, that we understand that it's very, very important. And so what I'm going to do as we go through this Genesis 1 to 11 is set up a situation where hopefully Creation Ministries can come in and strike the pins down. And any really, really tricky concepts, come and talk to me and then I'll direct you to them. But please, if you've got questions, come and ask. Because it's the only way to get any sort of resolution. So I'm going to talk about a few concepts that we find within Genesis chapter 1 and the tail at the end of it in chapter 2 then. And the first one I want to talk about is that we're made in God's image. That's incredible. And if you want to know a lot of the reasons why we should value life, we value life because we're made in the image of God. And that's vitally important. It means we care about people, not because just there's something we can get out of them, but because genuinely we can see that they are the nature of God. We are unique in that setup. The elephant is not the image of God. The blue whale is not the image of God. That's the most important. The 46-year-old trapdoor spider which died recently is the oldest living spider in Australia. There you go, there's a few more. You get all sorts of history. That's not the image of God either. What do you know? There's something unique about us. And this is where it starts off. And so as believers in Jesus Christ, if we're going to try and say to people, this particular ethic has meaning and this particular moral standard is worth following, it's worth knowing where we draw that back to. I draw it back to Genesis chapter 1. That we're created in His image. And therefore all of us have value. And that affects the way I believe it should affect all people. That's not to say that people can't have a good ethic unless they know Jesus Christ. I'm just saying there's a consistency in knowing Jesus Christ and understanding Genesis. It also, if you just tag on the end of Genesis rest the seventh day and made it whole, because it rested from all work of creation in the world. So it completes Genesis chapter 1 as that day, it's the actions of the seventh day, which was rest. Now, we've got so used to society where we have a particular place of somewhere else that we sometimes forget how blessing that is to be. Have a day to say, simply put, if God can create a world in 6 days and take the seventh day of rest, it's a good example of the new world. But there should be nothing so desperate in our life, system rather than the seventh day. Do you understand what I'm saying? The system. Because we understand that the Sabbath was made for man, and man was the Sabbath. Again, the 7 days, life just takes over. The system will not lose in the seventh day. God sets that and says, look, follow my pattern. We'll go on as we go through these chapters, we'll find out where sin entered the world. We'll get to that in chapter 3. But the important part from chapter 1, and particularly as we pick it up in chapter 2, is this. It starts good. Yeah, it goes down pretty rapidly, I must admit. And then we'll come to chapter 11 eventually and see how God overcomes things. But the important part is it starts good. When we introduce people to the living life of Jesus Christ, what we're talking about is a future hope brought down to right now. And I'm basing that upon Genesis 1, which says the whole idea is that we're going to be reconciled back to this perfection we call it heaven. But it talks about it as the opening statement, Genesis 1. And it goes, it's good. It was good. Just to remind you, it was good. Then it was good. And then it was good again. And then we turned it. And it was very good. Don't get it wrong, we're very good. God declared it so. And so when we go to people and say life in Jesus Christ is about hope and resurrection and future promise which we can see today in our lives, we're talking about a new life. Not a pathetic one. And yes, we acknowledge that as we come to Genesis 3 that things have changed, it's not been as perfect as we wanted to be. But it was created that way. And I can guarantee you it will be that way when his rule comes. We will be in that paradise that he created. And it's excellent to think we can start with the goodness of God. Well, a few questions of who put Genesis together. And there's been all sorts of arguments about this particular aspect, as well as many other things. But the most likely, and the one I go with, obviously, is that Moses did. That's what the Bible refers to when it talks about who put it together in Numbers 33:2, Exodus 17:14, sorry, Deuteronomy 31:9, all these sorts of places. It refers back to Moses writing this. We have a look and we say, well, had they ever heard of these accounts before? And I'm not using the word stories, I'm using the word account. Stories seems to be like, you know, you get a written up stories, they're nice, but hey, this is an account. Had they heard of these accounts before? Had they got any idea how God had created them? I mean, quite likely. God used Moses to codify and put it specifically together. And you might think, well, why? I'll come to that in a second. We'll just look at a few other things you find in here. You'll find some things called merisms. Merisms is a Jewish way of saying everything. The heavens. It means regularity. We have announcements by God. God spoke. God didn't just think it. He the separation. Life began. Life being represented in Jewish culture is good things. We have the reporting and naming of things. We've got a chronological framework also. You could look at it as some have done, as God looked, we created space and water in day 2, and the great land in day 3. This continues on in the minds of the Jewish people, the newly formed Jewish people, is that the God who's pulled them out of Egypt, the God who's saying, I can't take you into the promised land, but I will do so, is all powerful. He's the truth of the times. And then we could look at it and say, well, it's an apologetic view for the day, for today. You see, we don't have the Son of God. Said this, we can't argue against it. In actual fact, scientists have decided to say things. And we need to understand. So, a few things that we need to consider. So, a good question. Is light a wave or a particle? Come on, show your hands. Who thinks it's a wave? It's a minority, right? Okay. Who thinks it's a particle? Who's got no idea? Oh, at least you're honest. Who put up your hand for both a wave and a particle? Okay, there you go. So we know, according to what certain scientists think, that light behaves sometimes like a wave, sometimes like a particle. But never the same wave and particle at the same time. We can't observe that because it can act like a wave and a particle. So two different states. This idea called the Big Bang Theory. Now, just so we're aware, the Big Bang Theory is not, first of all, it's not a TV program, but it is one of my favorites. It's not talking about how the universe said that we get down to this question on Sunday. She knows and respects and makes it right. If you follow and believe that particular theory, they estimate about 15 billion years ago that all took place. Okay. Nowadays, they think is filled with what they call dark energy, dark matter. The dark energy and dark matter, it's the space between what we can't see. Certain scientists believe it's there, that's fine, no problem with it. Can't see it, can't measure it, but they believe it's there. I have no problem with that either. People are welcome to their beliefs. I'm a man of belief. But don't tell me that my belief is any worse than anyone else's. If they want to believe in something they can't see, why am I allowed to believe in something they can't see? I don't care. I don't care. According to certain scientific theory, they believe that at quantum levels, things could just pop into existence. Sometimes they're there for a split second, sometimes a bit longer. But when you get at the quantum level, all sorts of theories about how we operate on a day-to-day basis can disappear and change. So the argument goes is if you track back to the Big Bang and go back to this small area, how did that appear? What are the suggestions? Out of theory. One particular theory says this. There's a good reason why so many scientists are gathering to emphasize that matter is not the only reality, and that consciousness could play a huge role in the creation of matter itself. Almost all of the founding members of quantum mechanics have emphasized multiple times that as the Max Planck, the original quantum theory, said, I regard matter as derivative of consciousness. Everything that we talk about, everything we regard as existence, postulates consciousness. In fact, they go on to say that whilst the popping up of existence and matter based upon some conscious matter, therefore, because they're conscious, matter appears, spreads out, becomes what we see today. Well, to me, that sounds like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. That because God was there and he spoke, he created the universe into existence. And so a lot of people say, well, science and religion don't mean scientific things are perfect. But I have a very, very different view compared to a lot of scientists. So that's a few things we can look at, but this is the thing I want to take away with you. When we read Genesis, what is it the author would like to take away from this? Because often when you hold a position such as I do, God created the world in 6 days, people say to you, oh, you're a literalist. You take everything literally. And you kind of go, I sidestep up really quickly because I know where they're going to come next. It's a one two punch. They go, okay, so you take everything literally in the Bible. And if you say yes, they go, ah, well, does that mean Jesus is going to be a shepherd? He said he's not a shepherd. Is he a dog? Is he a man? It's obvious that Jesus wasn't a man. They go, well, I've just done that. Ah, so you don't take that bit literally. You only take the bit you want to be literally. Well, you say, no, I don't say the word literally. You said, oh, well, then, how do you know my interpretation is correct? Well, I use the word literally. I use the word face value. The question is, if you're a person who's picking up the book of Genesis and reading it for the very first time and getting to know, this is the explanation of God creating the universe. This is how he chooses to explain it. If you were to read that book, Genesis is the book of beginnings. It's the intro to say who God's character is. It would be very odd if we said at the face value reading that God created the world in 6 days and created a day of rest, if that God said we are so precious that we are named very good, and that he said, I'm so powerful that out of nothing I can speak and everything created. If this is the intended message of the author, then we say, but we're replacing that with, well, we need to turn up each other. So every life Jesus. Now we evolve from things which obviously weren't created. So I'm not sure I can satisfy that with the original creative name. And the question asks, if we did, when did we? Why did we need to know? By the way, just to be absolutely correct, theory of evolution is only evolved from apes. It's apes themselves that exist. The question is still there. When did the image of God exist? But more importantly, more worrying for me would be this, is when Jesus quotes and refers back to Genesis, I'd like him to be correct. Because I trust him to take care of my sins. I believe that death and resurrection has taken my sins away. I trust that his promises has come to over every great space. I want him to be accurate. It would be really bad if he turned up and finally went, I've got a problem. Which is why when he talks about the beginning of time, when he talks about, you know, quotes such as, you were wrong, because in the beginning God didn't create them. Jesus quotes this as a statement of my man. I want him to be right. I don't want him just to be thinking about it or read about it. I want him to know. I want the guy who I'm trusting my whole life to, who I believe is the living God, to be accurate about how he created the thing in the first place. And whilst I don't expect Genesis chapter 1 to give him the full thesis of how he actually spoke and what actually happened and where the molecules built into place, I realise he could do that. But I do want to believe that his intended message, the face value reading, is that it's powerful enough to do it. He chose me in 6 days. I was the man in 6 days. And he said, what he says, yes, this is the man that God intended to be in. We'll find what he's going to do. We'll find in chapter 4 what he's going to do. And as we talk about each other, we know where he is saying what he's going to do. So,